We started reading about the sweetness of Lord Krishna. Sanatana Goswami is hearing from Lord Chaitanya. And we read some very beautiful descriptions of Krishna's body and the flute, the peacock feather on his head, the pearl necklace around his neck, the ornaments on his body. We heard about what happens to the dearest devotees of Krishna, the gopis, when the flute sound enters into their ear. We heard how even Narayan in Vaikuntha does not possess the sweetness of Krishna. None of the incarnations of Krishna, even up to Narayan, possess the transcendental beauty of Krishna. Often I've explained how everyone actually loves beauty, and you want to add beauty to your life. That means, directly or indirectly, you're searching for Krishna. Therefore, you're at peace in Bhakti Yoga, because finally, you are in contact with Krishna in the authorized way. Actually, everyone is in contact with Krishna. When you're in contact with Maya, you're in contact with Krishna. But it's the wrong way. Just like if you're in prison, you're in contact with the government. But it's the wrong way. We want to be in contact with Krishna in the right way. And then we have access to the unlimited spiritual beauty of Krishna. Which makes us satisfied. When you see the deity beautifully decorated, you are more satisfied than if you try to beautifully decorate yourself. When Krishna is pleased, you are pleased. If you cook and offer tasty food to the Lord, you are satisfied because you've offered it to Krishna. The effect of devotional prasad is not so much how you pack your belly, but how the cook has pleased Krishna. Prasad is actually for the spiritual senses. Krishna's beauty is for the spiritual senses. People say that God is beautiful, but generally, in fact, almost always, they describe God in terms of material nature. Look at the beautiful mountains. Yes, I'm sure you showed the mountains. Yes. When you're first in the mountains, you got this sense of awe and reverence for the beauty of God. Yeah. Or people talk about the beauty of the land or the sky or a rainbow because they do not know anything about the personal form of the Lord. Therefore, they only can give examples of material nature. But here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya is giving you beautiful poetic descriptions of the transcendental body of Lord Krishna. And he's giving you evidence that even the consort of Narayan, Lakshmi Devi, she gives up everything in order to gain the association of Krishna. The quintessence of Krishna's sweet bodily luster is so perfect that there is no perfection above it. He is the immutable mind of all transcendental qualities. In his other manifestations and personal expansions, there is only a partial exhibition of such qualities. We understand all his personal expansions in this way. Lord Chaitanya is explaining what Rupa Goswami explains in Nectar Devotion. Krishna has qualities of his own that he doesn't share with even Narayana. Therefore, we give special attention to Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of Godhead. if someone wants to worship Lord Ram, if someone wants to worship Narayan, of course we do not object. Nevertheless, the point is there in the Shastra that Krishna has special qualities, uniquely his own. Both the gopis and Krishna are complete. The gopis' ecstatic love is like a mirror that becomes newer and newer at every moment and reflects Krishna's bodily luster and sweetness. Thus competition increases. Since neither give up, their pastimes become newer and newer and both sides constantly increase. Between the Lord and his devotee, there's competition between who can serve each other the best. The devotee sees, Krishna is giving me so much mercy. Krishna is so kindly engaging me in his service, giving me his name to chant, his remnants of food to honor, his form to look at. So the devotee is full of gratitude. To be grateful is a very important emotion in Krishna consciousness. Every day you should thank Krishna for the opportunity that you have for chanting his name, associating with devotees, worshipping his deity, tasting his prasad. Every day. If you lose your gratitude, that's a good sign that you're becoming dry in bhakti. When you lose your gratitude, this often happens to older devotees. They've practiced Krishna consciousness so many years, it becomes like a routine, and they lose their gratitude, and then they wonder where the original freshness has gone. Just like in any human relationship, if one of the persons in the relationship loses gratefulness for being in the relationship becomes very taut and dry. But if there's gratitude, then so many inconveniences can be tolerated. We don't deny that in Krishna consciousness there are inconveniences because we're practicing bhakti in the material world. There must be inconveniences. At the same time, the nectar of Krishna is more than enough to insulate you from these relatively tiny inconveniences. The nature of the material world is inconvenience. That's the way it is. But the more we're absorbed in the nectar of Krishna, the more we'll pass over these inconveniences quite easily. The devotee is grateful. Krishna's doing so much for me. And the devotee wants to serve Krishna more. That's the natural consequence of gratitude. Let me do more for Krishna. How can I improve? How can I improve my morning chanting? How can I improve the quality of my association with devotees? How can I improve my dedication to the mission of Srila Prabhupada's representatives? What can I do? That's a natural consequence of gratitude. That gratitude combined with let me do more. That spirit keeps your devotional creeper very luxuriant. Keeps it from drying up. So, the devotee wants to do more for Krishna. And Krishna says, what is this? My devotee is doing so much for me. Let me do more for my devotee. That is the nature of life in the spiritual world. Reciprocation. So, here you have the gopis and Krishna. Together, they are complete. The gopis' ecstatic love is like a mirror that becomes newer and newer at every moment as it reflects Krishna's bodily luster and sweetness. This is how great God is. Not that he made the mountains and he made the sea. But his bodily luster is so extraordinary. and his bodily sweetness is so extraordinary. The transcendental mellows generated from the dealings between the gopis and Krishna cannot be tasted by means of fruitive activity, yogic austerities, speculative knowledge, regulative devotional service, mantra yoga or meditation. This sweetness can be tasted only through the spontaneous love of liberated persons who chant the holy names with great ecstatic love. Every day when we gather in the temple room before the deities, we're seeking to chant the holy names with great ecstatic love. Every day provides a new opportunity. Let me chant from the core of my heart, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. We look forward to every coming day for that opportunity. And at the time of death, we simply change temples. We go to another temple and we do more of the same. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. This is our life. And in this way, we march past the vices of Kali Yuga. All around you is degradation. I know you're thinking, will I make it? Will I make it in Krishna consciousness? Or will I succumb? What will become of me in a few years? You can keep marching past the vices of Kali Yuga as long as you take shelter of the holy name. In the association of devotees, the holy name is sweeter. We should not think we're going to imitate Haridas Thakur and chant in a solitary place. Srila Prabhupada was not in favor of that and said it would lead to our downfall. We're meant to chant in the association of devotees. Therefore, we need to know how to associate with devotees. It's a great art. You can beg Krishna, please teach me how to relish the association of devotees. If you beg the deities for that skill, they'll equip you with the ability to swim and float in the ocean of devotional sangha. So these are more goals that you can try for. These are more emotional strivings that your heart can possess. Everyone likes to have a pumping heart full of strivings. That's very necessary in bhakti yoga. You want your heart to pump with the desire to please Krishna better. You want to become overwhelmed by Krishna's beauty and sweetness. Then you come alive. Such ecstatic transactions between Krishna and the gopis are possible only in Vrindavan, which is full of the opulences of transcendental love. The form of Krishna is the original source of all transcendental qualities. It is like a mine of gems, the opulences belonging to all the personal expansions of Krishna are to be understood to be bestowed by Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the original source and shelter of everyone. What is the opulence in Vrindavan? Transcendental ecstatic love. That's what's in the treasury in Vrindavan. Krishna Premadan. The treasury, the wealth of love of Krishna. That's what saturates Vrindavan. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the chapter describing the Heda Panchami festival, you'll find Sukh Damodar and Srimas trading jokes about which is superior, Lakshmi Devi's opulence with Narayan or Vrindavan Dan, the Krishna and the gopis. Shivas, he's Narada Muni. So, he's a devotee of Aishwarya, opulence. He begins to say, What is this talk about the opulence of Vrindavan? What's in Vrindavan? Some grass, a few forest minerals, a few peacock feathers. Look at Vaikuntha with Lakshmi Devi. She sits on a throne of jewels. Palaces everywhere. What could be better than that? And he turns to Sudama and says, "Your gopis, what are they doing? Just boiling milk and churning it into yogurt. The goddess of fortune. Look at her opulence. Look at her wealth." Then Sir Damodar begins to explain, "You don't know. What about the ground in Vrindavan? It's Chintamani, touchstone. What about the cows? They're Kamadevus, wish-fulfilling cows. What about the trees? They're Kalpavriksha, wish-fulfilling trees. Every step is dance. Every word is song in Vrindavan. The water's like nectar. I say that the opulence of Vaikuntha is just a drop compared to the unlimited ocean of opulence in Vrindavan." At that point, Srivas gave up and started laughing, jumping up and down, and making sound by slapping under his armpits. Then it was a big kirtan. Well, that's the way it goes in Chaitanya Leela. Beauty, humility, mercy, merit, patience, and expert intelligence are all manifested in Krishna. But besides these, Krishna has other qualities like good behavior, mildness, and magnanimity. He also performs welfare activities for the whole world. All these qualities are not visible in expansions like Narayana. After seeing Krishna, various people criticize the blinking of their eyes. In Vrindavan especially, all the gopis criticize Lord Brahma because of this defect in the eyes. Remember, we were speaking yesterday about how eye criticism is very prominent in Vrindavan. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam and explain them vividly, thus enjoying the taste of transcendental sweetness with great happiness. Yes, the more you dedicate yourself to Srimad Bhagavatam, the more you'll begin to realize there is unlimited transcendental sweetness in the shlokas. It takes some time. Will you give some time in dedication to Krishna consciousness, so that your natural sweetness will become revived in relationship with Krishna? Will you give some time? What do you think is sufficient time? What's wrong with all your life? A few short years, a few short years out of a short life. Yasyananam makara kundala charukana kaja kapola subhagam subhavasahasam nityog sabana chatrupur jasibi pivancho naryo narascha mudita kupita namescha. All men and women were accustomed to enjoying the beauty of the shining face of Lord Krishna, as well as his shark-shaped earrings swinging on his ears, his beautiful features, his cheeks, and his playful smiles, all combined to form a constant festival for the eyes. And the blinking of the eyes became obstacles that impeded one from seeing that beauty. For this reason, men and women became very angry for Lord Brahma. Here's a verse from the ninth canon of Bhagavatam. Atatiyat bhavan ahni kananam chutir yugayate tam upasyatam kutir kuntalam simukam chate jada udikshyatam pashmakrit prisham. O Krishna, when you go to the forest during the day, and we do not see your sweet face, which is surrounded by beautiful curling hair, half a second becomes as long as an entire age for us. And we consider the Creator, who has put eyelids on the eyes we use for seeing you, to be simply a fool. This is from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Have you seen such beauty that half a second without seeing that beautiful face seems like an entire yuga? Even the shortest yuga, Kali Yuga, is 432,000 years. Half a second without seeing that beautiful face. Therefore, we say there's no beauty in the material world, in that sense, when you compare to Krishna. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is identical with the Vedic hymn known as the Kama Gayatri, which is composed of 24 and a half syllables. Those syllables are compared to moons that arise in Krishna. Thus, all three worlds are filled with desire. Those who have second initiation, you're chanting the Kama Gayatri Mantra. It does not replace the Hare Krishna Mantra. The Hare Krishna Mantra is all important. The Gayatri Mantra is for worshipping the deity. Let's hear about the 24 and a half moons that arise in Krishna. The face of Krishna is the king of all moons, and the body of Krishna is the throne. Thus the king governs a society of moons. So now you're going to count 24 and a half moons. First of all, you have the face. That's one moon. Then the other moons are subordinate to the king of the moons, the face. So you have the left cheek is a moon, the right cheek is a moon, the forehead is the half a moon. Then the spot of sandalwood pulp on his forehead is also considered a moon. And his fingernails, that's 10 more moons, each fingernail is a moon. The toenails, 10 more, each toenail is a moon. That makes 24 and a half. This is the moon meditation. So when you look at the moon in the evening, you can think of the king of the moons, Krishna's face, and then the other 23 and a half moons. 10 fingernails, 10 toenails, the left cheek, the right cheek, the spot of sandalwood pulp on the forehead, and in the forehead itself, the half moon, 24 and a half. This is how you think of Krishna. Krishna has two cheeks that shine like glowing gems. Both are considered full moons. His forehead is considered a half moon, and the spot of sandalwood pulp there is considered a full moon. His fingernails are many full moons. What do they do? Full moons of the fingernails. They dance on the flute in his hands. So you can just see that. 10 moons dancing on a flute. Their song is the melody of that flute. His toenails are also many full moons. What do those 10 full moons of the toenails do? They dance on the ground. And what is their song? The jingling of Krishna's ankle bells. Krishna's face is the enjoyer king. That full moon face makes his shark-shaped earrings and lotus eyes dance. His eyebrows are like bows, and his eyes are like arrows. His ears are fixed on the string of that bow. And when his eyes spread to his ears, he pierces the hearts of the gopis. So the eyes are like arrows, the eyebrows are like bows, and the ears are fixed to the string of the bow. With the eyebrows, go back to the ears, and then the arrows fire. Very beautiful description. In this way, he pierces the hearts of the gopis. Who do you know? You can say their face is the enjoyer king. It's only Krishna. The dancing features of his face surpass all other full moons and expand the marketplace of full moons. Although priceless, the nectar of Krishna's face is distributed to everyone. Some purchase the moon rays of his sweet smiles, and others purchase the nectar of his lips. Thus he pleases everyone. So there's a marketplace where full moons are purchased. There's no price for the nectar of Krishna's face. There's no price for that full moon. Yet it's distributed to everyone. About that face, that nectar of the face, some people are purchasing the moon rays of his sweet smiles. Others purchase the nectar of his lips. In this way, everyone is satisfied in this marketplace of full moons. Now, what about the eyes? Krishna has two reddish, widely spread eyes. They are ministers of the king, and they subdue the pride of Cupid, who also has beautiful eyes. The king, remember, is the face, the king of the moons. So the eyes are like ministers of that king. They subdue the pride of Cupid, who also has beautiful eyes. That face of Govinda, which is full of happiness, is the home of the pastimes of beauty. And it is very pleasing to everyone's eyes. Another name of Krishna is Aruna Rochan. He has eyes red like the rising sun. If by devotional service one gets the results of pious activities and sees Lord Krishna's face, what can he relish with only two eyes? His greed and thirst increase twofold by seeing the nectarian face of Krishna. Due to his inability to sufficiently drink that nectar, he becomes very unhappy and criticizes the Creator for not having given more than two eyes. More creator criticism is coming. When the onlookers of Krishna's face become dissatisfied in this way, he thinks, why did the Creator give me thousands and millions of eyes? Why has he given me only two? Even these two eyes are disturbed by blinking, which keeps me from continuously seeing Krishna's face. Thus one accuses the Creator of being dry and tasteless due to engaging in severe austerities. The Creator is only a dry manufacturer. He does not know how to create and set things in their proper places. So this is the beauty that you're waiting to see. Beauty so intense that you criticize Lord Brahma. Why only two eyes? I need millions of eyes to see the beauty of Krishna. Not only do I have only two eyes, but these two eyes blink. So when you get that feeling, then you've actually seen real beauty. Up until then, forget it. The Creator says, let those who will see Krishna's beautiful face have two eyes. Just see the lack of consideration exhibited by this person posing as a creator. If the Creator took my advice, he would give millions of eyes to the person who intends to see Sri Krishna's face. If the Creator will accept this advice, then I would say that he is competent in his work. Some chanting.
Thank you.
Shining beams of moonlight. While speaking of these things with Sankhan Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to remember one thing after another. Moving his hands in ecstasy, he recited a verse. You see, this is what's going on in Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita. Those verses that you read, they're capable of inciting extraordinary spiritual ecstasy in you. More and more as the years go by, and remain true to the process of bhakti, you'll feel that. You see, whatever we do, we don't want to lose our taste. Sometimes you can find yourself becoming a bit dry in your taste for hearing and chanting. You may feel like that. The nature of the material world is such that things run down. So we have to constantly recharge our batteries. That's why we need the association of devotees. Because in the Sangha, in the association of devotees who are sincere, it's very easy to taste the nectar in hearing Krishna's glories. We need to manage our life so that we don't lose our taste. Let us hang on to that taste we get from hearing about Krishna. Let's hang on to it with great determination. Let it be the predominant thing for organizing your life. These verses, they're saturated with Krishna praying. Sanatana Goswami says that every syllable in Srimad Bhagavatam is saturated with pure love of Krishna. So what is the verse that Lord Chaitanya began to remember? Thinking of Krishna's face and then Krishna's smile. That smile is like shining beams of moonlight. So Lord Chaitanya, moving his hands in ecstasy, began to recite this verse. Maduram, maduram, vapurasya vibho. Maduram, maduram, varanam, maduram. Madugande, madu smitam etadaho. Maduram, 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 maduram. O my Lord, the transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet. And his face is even sweeter than his body. But his soft smile, which has the fragrance of honey, is sweeter still. This is a verse from Krishna Karanamrita by Bhagavatam Thakur. My dear Sanatan, the sweetness of Krishna's personality is just like an ocean of ambrosia. Although my mind is now afflicted by convulsive diseases, and I wish to drink that entire ocean, the repressive physician does not allow me to drink even one drop. This is love of Krishna and separation. Lord Chaitanya is the foremost demonstrator of Rupalamba Seva, love of Krishna. When Krishna is not present, he's saying, my mind needs to drink that entire ocean of the ambrosia that is Krishna's sweet personality. Just think about this. You can go to the ocean, Brighton Beach, and how thirsty would you be wanting to drink that whole ocean? But that's love of Krishna and separation. Lord Chaitanya is saying, my mind is such that I need to drink the entire ocean of the sweetness of Krishna's personality, but the repressive physician doesn't even give me one drop. In other words, Krishna's not here. Where is Krishna? Of course, as we were explaining this morning, in that mood of separation, Krishna's more present than ever before because of the strong feelings of separation. Prabhupada would speak about love of Krishna and separation. And actually, the famous song that George Harrison recorded, My Sweet Lord, that was a result of Prabhupada teaching him a little about what is love of Krishna and separation. Prabhupada explained to him, it's like when the sun is present, you feel the warmth very intensely. Then suddenly the sun disappears. And what do you feel? The absence of the sun. So you're still in relation to the sun, but you're feeling distinctly, where did the sun go? So Prabhupada explained that to George Harrison, and he made the song, My Sweet Lord. Got many people to chant Hare Krishna. Purport. When there is a combination of kapha, pitta, and vayu, the three bodily elements, there occurs sannipati, or convulsive disease. Lord Chaitanya said, this disease of mine is caused by the personal features of Lord Krishna. The three elements are the beauty of Krishna's body, the beauty of his face, and the beauty of his smile. Stricken by these three beauties, my mind goes into convulsions. It wishes to drink the ocean of Krishna's beauty. But because I am undergoing convulsions, my physician, who is Sri Krishna himself, does not even allow me to take a drop of water from that ocean. This is the devotee's situation in pure love of Krishna. He wants to drink the ocean of Krishna's personal beauty. Because his mind is in convulsions because of Krishna's beauty. But then the doctor says, no, not a drop of water for you. The doctor is Sri Krishna. The ocean is Sri Krishna's beauty. What can the devotee do? He can't get away from Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ecstatic in this way because he was presenting himself in the mood of the gopis. The gopis wanted to drink the ocean of sweetness arising from the bodily features of Krishna, but Krishna did not allow them to come near. Consequently, their desire to meet Krishna increased, and being unable to drink the ambrosia of Krishna's bodily features, they became very unhappy. That unhappiness, of course, course, is Ananda, transcendental bliss. In the spiritual world, everything is Ananda. Pain, pleasure, happiness, unhappiness. There's none of the duality you find in the material world. In the material world, you want pleasure, not pain. You want happiness, not unhappiness. But in the spiritual world, all the varieties are there, but they have the same effect. Satchitananda. All the emotions are there, but they're there perfectly, and their effect is simply ever-increasing bliss. So don't mistake the display of so-called unhappiness in Vrindavan to be material. More chanting. You
tomorrow evening we'll continue reading about Lord Chaitanya, talking of Krishna's sweetness to Sanatana Goswami. We'll be hearing about Krishna's body, more about Krishna's body. We'll be hearing about Krishna's flute playing and its effects. And finally, Lord Chaitanya is going to say, what have I been talking about? I didn't mean to explain all these confidential things. What kind of madness has come over me? So, in this way, beg for the mercy of Krishna Dasa Kaviraj Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, so mercifully given to us by Srila Prabhupada. Then I think tomorrow morning we're having a yajna, and during the lecture of the yajna, we'll be speaking about more about seeing Krishna from the neophyte level to the premi level. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So let's take a read to Swami Ki.